Witness testimony is now underway in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Chauvin has been charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck for more than 8 minutes during an arrest in May. George Floyd's death sparked an international protest movement over police brutality and racism, and much of the world will be paying attention to this trial. Joining us now is Eddie Glaude. He's professor of African American Studies at Princeton University. Welcome back to Here and Now. It's good to speak with you.
Always a pleasure. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing all right. Thank you. And how are you today as we have one of the most high-profile trials in recent memory now underway?
You know, I'm on pins and needles. It's a kind of combination of grief, anticipation, and skepticism, and a kind of wariness, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Watching the death of George Floyd on video, as we have all done now, unfortunately, his neck under the knee of Derek Chauvin, that was traumatizing for many, many people. So how difficult do you think the trial will be for the American public as we all relive George Floyd's final moments?
Obviously for his family. It's going to be very difficult for young people around the country, for young people of color, particularly Black people. It will be difficult. I pray that for the nation more broadly, more generally, because we find ourselves in this very difficult moment. Think about this. The trial is beginning in the context of an all-out assault on voting rights, in the context of an escalation of violence against Asian Americans, in the context of the debates around immigration, against the backdrop of January 6th. In other words, it's taking place against the backdrop of an all-out panic about who we take ourselves to be in the country. You know, and people respond to panic and terror differently. So we'll see. We shall see.
Yeah. George Floyd's brother, Philonis Floyd, spoke on NBC's Today Show this morning. Let's listen to that.
We know that this case, it, to us, is a slam dunk because we know the video is the proof. That's all you need. The guy was kneeling on my brother's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. A guy who was sworn in to protect. He killed my brother in broad daylight.
So George Floyd's family is projecting confidence there. But it is, as you well know, rare in this country for a police officer to be charged with murder and even rarer to get a conviction. Do you share the family's confidence? Do you think this is a slam dunk case?
It should be, but I'm not confident it will be. You know, we are creatures of habit. Our experience has led us, has led me to believe that when police are charged in this sort of way for these sorts of crimes, they're rarely, if ever, convicted. And it has a lot to do with, you know, the standard of proof. It has a lot to do with qualified immunity, right? So I understand, I mean, because in some ways it's an assertion, right, what George Floyd's brother is saying. And that is, how can you not convict him when this is so clear? You see, that's the question. That's how will you justify not convicting him when the evidence is so clear? And that question has always been asked with regards to Black lives in some ways.
It's a powerful question, isn't it?
I think so, you know, because it takes us to the heart of what has in some ways organized this country since its founding. And that is that some people are valued more because of the color of their skin, while others have to experience a generalized sense of disregard because of the color of theirs.
Well, you hinted at the defense strategy earlier on in our conversation. As you say, they are likely, we know this, to be suggesting that George Floyd's death was caused from his drug use and his underlying health problems. They're going to try to sow doubt that the police officer's actions were the cause of this death. I guess that's a typical defense in a case like this, but your thoughts on that?
It is a typical defense. And in addition to that, they're going to say that he did not use excessive force, even though it is clear 8 minutes and 46 seconds is kind of a symbolic term, but we know that it was really 9 minutes and 30 seconds. So they're going to fall within the parameters of how police defend their actions. And again, the bar is very, very high. So the strange thing about it, though, is how familiar it all is. And that's the key, at least for me. Sometimes America, to echo James Baldwin, sometimes America resembles an exceedingly monotonous minstrel show. The same songs, the same jokes, the same dances. It feels as if we're in the middle of that theater right now.
I hear you say that, and I wonder if the American criminal justice system and the police on the issue of accountability have changed any in the last 10 months since George Floyd's death.
Not by the data. You know, COVID-19 didn't change the fact that, you know, police are still killing Black people at the same rates that they did pre-COVID. We still see 9-year-olds handcuffed. We see people with mental health episodes having to be buried by their parents. There's a general disregard, to my mind, for the value of Black life at times. And we've had to experience this haunting ritual for generations. So, you know, from whence one's faith that it will finally change? Well, you know, faith is oftentimes in the unseen. But we shall see. We shall see.
Eddie Glaude, professor of African American Studies at Princeton University. Eddie, thank you for your insights. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.